Learn. Okay, ready? So we are learning. We are in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey, depending on how you split it up, but we are calling it Mishnah Hey. It possibly is Mishnah Vav, whatever, okay, but this one, okay? It goes like this. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael says, Halomed Almanas Lalamed, somebody who learns in order to teach. Maspikin biyado lilmod ulalamed. It's like given over. Let's see how Rav Hirsch translates that word. He was granted the opportunity, right? Maspikin biyado. It's like given over into his hands to learn and to teach. Halomed almanas laasos. But somebody who learns in order to do maspikin biyado. It's given over into his hands. Lilmod ulalamed. To learn and to teach. Lishmor vilaasos. To guard it and to do. Okay, so again, there's two levels here. Similar things, right? Halomed almanas lalamed and halomed almanas lasos, okay? I love this Mishnah, and I have to disclaim it up front so you guys know that I'm biased. I love this Mishnah because this Mishnah is part of, like, my self-definition. I feel like I am part of, like, the way that I relate to my avodas Hashem in the world is that I am a lomed almanas lasos almanas lalamed. Which is not one of the options given, but if I'm being true to myself, that's what I am. I'm not sure if that qualifies me as a lomed almanas lasos or a lomed almanas lame, but you know what? Both of those are included in the Pirkei Kinyan Torah, so that's my Perek Kinyan Torah, so again, I feel very warmly every time I read this. But we are going to go in depth, and it's going to be so geschmack, and you're going to love it. All of you guys will love it, especially some of you guys who will love it. I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think so. Okay, ready? Let's go. Halomed. So here's the questions, right? The questions that we're going to be dealing with in this Mishnah are two basic questions, right? What is the subject? If I had to ask you, Shalomed, I was just thinking about you and hoping that you would join, so I'm so happy to see your name, even though you just put yourself on mute and I can't see your video. But
Hi.
Oh, I was just thinking about you today. I'm so happy you joined. Okay.
Hello. Shalom,
man. I don't even know who that is anymore. Oh, Batsheva. Low blow. Okay, ready?
Was that supposed to be mean? That wasn't meant to be. It was supposed to be like, oh my God, hey, I'm seeing you.
Flirtatious. Yeah, we got
sorry,
it.
Sorry,
that was all mean. Okay, halomed almanas alamed. Okay, the question here is, LOL. I'll be okay. Good, Shalom. You can call me afterwards if you need some therapy. Actually, you can call Batsheva if you need therapy. What? Okay, ready? Halomed almanas alamed. Somebody who learns about it. Okay, so the question of this of the Mishnah is like, what's the subject? What is this Mishnah talking about? What's the subject of this Mishnah? What are the options that we have? What are some of the things? And again, we're gonna see it's like a much deeper subject than we had expected. But that was a little like cliffhanger thrown in there. But what are the possible subjects of this Mishnah? What could it be talking about?
Teachers, different teaching styles.
Good teaching. Good different teaching styles. Good. What else?
Motives for learning.
Good. Different motivations behind learning. Good. So Batsheva just said two of the major ones, right? Teaching or learning. Is this about, are we talking about teaching here? Are we talking about learning here? Are we talking about motivation here? Right? What is the subject? So the different Mefarshim, again, you're going to see when we go through the Mefarshim, they're going to talk about different perspectives on that question. What is this Mishnah about? And then again, what is the larger, broader point of this Mishnah? And again, this is one of those Mishnahs. The deeper we go, it just keeps going, which is awesome, okay? We're going to start with Rabbeinu Yonah, as we always start with, okay? I'm going to read you Rabbeinu Yonah, and then we're going to have to take a much deeper look at Rabbeinu Yonah, and then Sifsei Da'as is going to take an even deeper look at Rabbeinu Yonah, and it's just going to open the whole thing up to us, okay? So that's the game plan, and then we're going to end with Hirsch, obviously, who's going to tie all the strings together. Okay, here we go. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Halo min almanas lalamin maspikin biyad lil mod lalamin. Here's Rav Hirsch. Here's Rabbeinu Yonah. Chas v'sholom. He does this often, right? Chas v'sholom. What does Rabbeinu Yonah always mean when he says chas v'sholom? We've been learning Rabbeinu Yonah for a long time, many, many years. He always, very frequently says chas v'sholom. What is he about to do when he says chas v'sholom?
Tell you not to think a certain way.
Exactly. Good, Chavi, right? He's going to save you from a certain misconception that he's worried you're going to have, right? Yeah, I was saying something to Javi. Good one. Okay, good, right? So he's worried that you might think something based on how you read the Mishnah. And he wants to make sure you don't think like that because he thinks it's a hashkafic, like, danger zone to go that way. Okay? So let's see where he's going here. Chas v'shalom, right? Don't think after reading this Mishnah. She'ein ze medaber belamed almanas lalamed velo la'asos. That we're talking about someone, again, I'm going to read you superficial and we're going to go back into it. Don't think that we're talking about somebody who is teaching, who is learning in order to teach, but not in order to do. right? They're only learning to teach, and they have no intention of doing. All right, chas v'shalom, don't think that. Don't look at that shot like that. Shazayim must be gimme a delilah modalamin, because that person is not given over his hands to learn and to teach. Come on. Ella amanas la'asos iser v'heter k'mashmo, but it's only given over to his hands to, you know, be able to paskin basically yes or no iser v'heter, just like it's a, like the pshat. V'losha yitrach v'ya'ayin harbe, and he's not really delving into it very much. Ula yimate be'isor davar hamaturim, maybe he's gonna find in something that's usser, actually it was really mutter. Ein lokeh hadvarim kipshatan. So he's not mipnei kach. And he's only looking at the pshat, and therefore it's only given over to his hands to understand the pshat. Is it okay or not okay? Okay. Halo min amanas lasos. I'm speaking to the biado lil modalami lishmor velasos. Rotsa lomar shadata lepalpe belimud kidei ladas amitas hadvarim. This other person, this contrast, is learning something in order to really understand the depths of it. Uratzono litroch kama yamim v'shanim lahasig davar katan v'linhog asmo al pi emes. He's looking, he could spend years, right? Days or years looking into a small thing in order to really understand the emes of it. Hareze lomit amanas lasos. That's the person that we mean when we say halomit amanas lasos. Shekol ikar ein machshavato ki'im el hamasa liyos amiti. His real motivation is that his actions are emestic, are real, are emes. Lufichach maspikin biyada lilmud lamed v'lasos shakol biglal hamasa. Good. So we have to know basically what Rabbeinu... Sorry, I just turned myself on mute. We have to know basically what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying in order to understand what he says, okay? Rabbeinu Yonah's pirush is hinged on a basic question that he has about the pshat, right? And again, this chas v'shalom, this possible misconception that you could have when you read pshat. And all of his pirush is hinged on that. So what problem, what assumption does Rabbeinu Yonah make about the pshat, and therefore what question does he ask? What did he do? Let me read that to you again. Ready? Of course, it's not talking about somebody who is learning in order to teach and not in order to do. Because that person doesn't, it's not given over to his hands to learn and to teach. So what's the logical premise of Rabbeinu Yonah's Peirush? We could say it this way. What does he disagree with? What is he telling you, chas v'shalom? Don't read it
like one or the other, no?
Good. Like don't... go about Eva.
No, it's not, like, whatever what you just said. It's a, like, it's not that the first one means it doesn't have a lasso's aspect to it.
Good, right? Don't read it like pshat, basically, right? Don't read it like strict pshat, that there's somebody who is literally learning only in order to teach. And there's somebody else who's literally learning in order to do, right? Rabbeinu Yonah, he's like, that's not tenable. That can't be our assumption. Why not? Why can't that be what the pasuk is saying? What the Mishnah is saying? Because it's very problematic, right? Like that person, Rabbeinu Yonah says, like logically, somebody who is only learning in order to teach and not in order to do, it's not given over his hands to learn and to do, right? And therefore, Halomin amanas lasos and halomin amanas lalamed have to be about something else. And not about, right, the subject of this Mishnah is not about learning. Because it can't actually be that somebody is learning only in order to teach and someone else is learning in order to do. It has to be the person who's learning in order to teach is also learning in order to do. Otherwise, like, he doesn't have any zechus. Let me give you an example, okay? When I was in Stern, I took, like, a class in Shoftim. And the class in Shoftim that I took, so again, it was a Chumash class, but very often she would assign to us, like, not Abar Ben El and Malbim and, like, Ibn Ezra to read. She would assign to us these, like, random biblical scholars, which I would go home and Google who these random biblical scholars were, and they, like, weren't from. And it drove me bonkers. I wrote every essay for that class. So, like, we had to, like, you know, analyze this whatever biblical scholar in relation to what Shoftim was saying and whatever. And I wrote every, like, homework assignment for the class. I would write what they said, and then I would write about how I didn't agree with this methodology of learning Torah. And I was like, if you haven't learned at Bar Ben El, why are you learning this random person from UCLA who comments on whatever it is in Shoftim, right? So I'm very happy that Rabbeinu Yonah agrees with me, right? I remember I called her by Rizzin and asked him a question about this. I was like, am I insane? Like, should I be learning this well or not? Right? Like, that's not halomin. If you're a biblical scholar, right, you drink your, like, pork milkshake for breakfast every day, as you write biblical scholarliness, because you want to teach about Torah to somebody, but you have no intention of keeping any Torah, of course it's not maspikin biyado leil moda lamed. Right? Of course you don't have the zchus to be leil moda lamed. It has to be that. So what is this difference? Again, let's talk about something else. Anyone have these halacha classes in high school? I had a halacha class in high school that there was like a rabbi who stood and the entire class lectured us about whether or not you were or were not allowed to do stuff, like, let's say, on Shabbos, right? It was a Hilchos Shabbos class. The entire class, we didn't go into anything. We didn't go in depth in anything. It was just like, can you do this? Yes. Can you do this? No. Can you do this? And his dinim, it was called dinim, and his tests were like literally a bunch of scenarios, and you had to write, is it okay or is it not okay? Okay, so that was like a halacha class. That's what Rabbeinu Yonos means when he says, halil mod amanas alamed. You are learning whether or not it is or is not okay. Is it okay? Is it not okay? That is halil mod amanas alamed. You're trying to teach somebody. So again, let's say this rabbi. Of course he was going to keep Torah. If he wasn't going to keep Torah, he would have no zechus, right? He's going to keep Torah. But let's pretend that he wasn't like, you know, some actual rabbi scholar. It was just like some guy they took off the street and was like, we need you to teach this Hilchos Shabbos class 11th grade. Go teach it. And he was like, okay. So what he did is he opened up a bunch of sfarim and he tried to figure out what is or is not allowed. Okay? That's halomen amanas alami. He's going to do it, but he's trying to figure out, is it okay or is it not okay? Right? What's the difference? So Rabbeinu Yonah's question, okay? So that's halomen amanas alamed. Rabbeinu Yonah's question now that he understands halomen amanas alamed can't exclude halomen amanas lasos. Right? Of course the person actually has to be wanting to do it also. So therefore, now Rabbeinu Yonah's left with a different question on the shop, which is, therefore, what's the difference? So if we're saying halomen amanas alamed is somebody who also wants to do it, so what is the difference? What's the essential difference, therefore, between halomen amanas lasos and halomen amanas lamed?
The emphasis.
What'd you say?
Maybe it's more like the emphasis, not, I don't know.
Good, that's up. Okay, so here, let me read you the second half. Okay, so again, now we understand. Rabbeinu Yonah is not saying it's not the difference between a biblical scholar and a rabbi, right? It's the difference between somebody who prepared a dinim class to teach 11th grade, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, about halacha, of course, assuming he's going to keep the halachos, and somebody else. Halomen amanas lasos, right? Somebody else in the base medrash who's learning the same Hilchos Shabbos is Sir Vehetar. What's the difference between those two people? Okay, let's listen to how Rabbeinu Yonah describes the lomen amanas lasos. What's this person's experience like? Ready? Halomed almanas lazos. Rotza lomar, shadato, his intention, like Bacheva said, right? His intention, his motivation. Lepalpel belimud, kede ladas amitas hadvarim. He's a very different motivation. He's not trying to say yes, no, you are not allowed to do this, right? Even though that might be part of it. He's trying to understand the emes. He's trying to understand amitas hadvarim, the truth of the matter. Uritsono, and his intention, his will, what he wants to do and what he intends to do. Litroach, to struggle, right? Litroach, to fight, to burden himself, right? Kama, yamim, vishanim, days or years. Lahasik davar katan, to understand even one little piece of it, even one little thing. Velinhog atzmo alpia emes, but to linhog atzmo, to act in accordance to what is true, to the truth, to emes. You can't even translate that, to emes. That's what I mean. That's what the pasuk means. That's what the Mishnah means when it says halomin almanas lasos. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Shakol ikar in machshavato ki'im el hamaz el yosamiti." He doesn't only want to do it. That other person also wants to do it. He wants to do it correctly. He wants to do it in an emistic way. He wants to do the emes. He doesn't want to do it yes or no, right or wrong. He wants to do the emes. Isn't that interesting? So again, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Isser v'heter, yes or no, are you or are you not allowed to do XYZ on Shabbos, is different than MS. And MS is a deeper level. It's not just right or wrong, MS. It's much deeper than that. What's the difference between MS and Isser v'heter? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, let me read you the end of it. And again, like Bacheva said, right? Depending on how you intend, that's what Hashem gives you. If you intend to do it, of course, because you're like you're a yasher yid. But you want to do Isser v'heter, Isser v'heter. Okay, so Hashem gives you the capacity to learn and to teach Isser v'heter. But if you want to struggle to understand something, to understand the emes of something better for days or years, that's what Hashem gives you that. That's the chus. You can learn it, you can teach it, you could keep it, and you could do it. What's the difference, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, between Isser v'heter and emes? It's incredible, isn't it? They're different to him. And that's what he's saying this Mishnah is talking about. The difference between Isser Heter MS and MS MS.
One of them is incredibly superficial, and the other one is like really trying to understand every single angle and nuance to why or get that like deeper and deeper and deeper. The other one is just tell me what to do.
Good. Right? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the difference is depth. The difference is depth. You could understand Isser Beheter very well, competently, and teach it competently. Yes or no? Is this something allowed or is it something not allowed? But we don't call that Halomin Almanas Lasos. Halomin Almanas Lasos is a higher level. And that's one where you're struggling to understand the MS. Okay? Sifsei Das has like 3 pages, only one paragraph of what you're really going to do, where he talks about this mechanism a little bit more. Sifsei Das is the Alter Mikael. And Sifsei Das, just kidding, Sifsei Das is Rabbi Yochum Lubavitz, who's a Talmud of the Alter Mikael. And his Peirush hinges on Rabbeinu Yonah. And in the same way that Rabbeinu Yonah's whole Peirush hinged on the Pasuk, right? On his question on the Pasuk. His question on the Pasuk being, you know, what is the difference between Halomid Almanas Lasos and Halomid Almanas Alamid if really they're both doing it Lasos? Okay? What's Sifsei Das's question on Rabbeinu Yonah? It's a good question, and as soon as you say it, as you hear it, you're going to be like, yeah, I actually was also wondering that. I just didn't let myself wonder. Sifsei Das asks a kasha on Rabbeinu Yonah. So again, Rabbeinu Yonah says, there's a difference between Isser Beheter and someone who's doing this Almanas Emes. Of course they're both doing it to do it, but that rabbi who just prepared it to teach dinim class, it's different, right? It's different than, let's say, Mrs. Bloom's Be'iyun Chumash class that we went into depth and we struggled to understand it and we're trying to understand what's happening. So Sifsei Das asks a kasha on Rabbeinu Yonah. What's his kasha? Goes like this. Really? Let me read it to you inside. Blip, 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 blip. I'm on the wrong page. Hold on.
Hey. Should I ask you after?
Oh, sorry, what?
So I have a question about what we just learned.
Yeah,
or should I ask you it? Okay, so I'm confused as to how Rabbeinu Yonah gets that from those two words, like lomo versus lasos. Lasos doesn't sound like depth and digging deeper. Like lomod sounds like you want to learn it. If anything, it's the opposite. It's like you want to learn it and grasp it, and then lasos is like just do it. No?
Yeah, interesting. Good. So Rabbeinu Yonah, that's like, I would say, I don't know the weakness, but that's a lack in Rabbeinu Yonah, right? Or something that Rabbeinu Yonah does not include. He does not include why it is that lasos is the mechanism by which you have a certain amount of depth in your learning.
Right.
But you're right that is the assumption of the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah very much puts that on a pedestal. And again, it's not the only Mishnah that does that. There's also Mishnah, Ein ha medrashua ikar el hamaaseh, right? Learning is not the point, doing is the point. So we see that very often.
Power to do something. Like, if you're just going to teach it over, you could just say it as opposed to doing it.
Mm-hmm. So we're saying that he wants to do it. We're not saying, right? Because you said he like gives that caveat.
Right.
Meaning it's not about doing or not doing. It's about learning it superficially versus digging in.
Learning
not about
it
doing
in order
it.
To do it. Right. So you're right. Meaning he doesn't explain by the mechanism by which learning it in order to do it changes something about you. Right? Again, Amram Farshim hit on it a little bit, or Hirsch hits on it a little bit, so let's talk about it. Let's see if Hirsch answers part of that for you. But you are right that Rabbeinu Yonah does not talk about that mechanism. That being said, right, that is an assumption that a hashkafic assumption all over the place in Yiddishkeit, which is that doing it is a higher level than thinking it. Rav Carey Friedman, who spoke to you guys, again, he's like a chaplain, so he's done all these like interfaith panels. And he said at some point, I remember the story, I can ask him for the details of it, but he was on a panel with a woman who was talking about Christianity in some capacity, and he was talking about Judaism, and he said after the panel, he gets like the best comments after the panel from these like Christian speakers, but after the panel, the woman said to him, you know, it's incredible to me for me to realize that Christianity is a rite of reason. Like, you get to be Christian by how you're thinking about stuff. And he's like, and she's like, and Judaism is a rite of action. What is it? A rite of, there was some other word. I'll ask him for what the word was. Right, that you, maybe a rite of ritual or something like that. Like, you are Jewish if you do stuff versus you're Jewish if you think stuff. So again, it's a very different kind of way of looking at religion a little bit even. I'll ask him for the actual story. Okay, ready? Sifsei Das and Rabbeinu Yonah. His question goes like this. What, really? It goes like this. Yesh layin v'chi halomein almana salamed. Ha'im hu eino mevakish as emes? How can you say that? That rabbi who's preparing the class for the 11th grade and is trying to figure out Isser Beheter, how can you say that he doesn't care about the MS? Of course he cares about the MS. What do you mean? What do you mean that somebody who's preparing Isser V'Heter to teach it over to somebody else with the assumption that Rabbeinu Yehuda has that he's also going to keep it is not emes, is not living the midah of emes. Of course they are. What do you mean? How are you setting up emes as a contrast to that person? So again, you can have somebody who's learning it more in depth, but why are you saying that that's more emes? Isn't the other person? And by the way, isn't this the construct by which if you say somebody's like super emestic, right? Sometimes you feel like it's great, but you don't usually mean like they're struggling to understand something on a deep level. You usually mean that they're like super yes or no. Medactic, super moral, like morally strict. If it's usser, it's usser, and if it's mutter, it's mutter. Right? That's almost the opposite of what Rabbeinu Yonah is painting, that picture. Okay, so here's Sitadas. How can you say that that person is not seeking truth? Of course that person is also seeking truth. Right? Until I read this in Sitei Das, I'm like, you know what? I did have that question. I just wasn't really allowing myself to think about that. Of course. Why isn't that rabbi being Mavakish to Emes? Of course he is, the theoretical rabbi. De'im kein harei lo hayu mispikin biyado lo lelamad v'lo lelamin. Again, he uses the same reasoning over Rabbeinu Yonah. If he wasn't being Mavakish to Emes, if he wasn't trying to understand the Emes when he's paskening Isser V'Heter, then why would we give it over to his hand, lelamad v'lo lelamin? Why would he have any zuchus if he's not also seeking the truth? Ella vadai kigam halomid velokeach hadavarim kipshuto toras emes b'fihu. Right, you have to say that even if that random rabbi who Hannah Sachs pulled off the street to teach this halacha class, he really just opened a bunch of sarim and tried to figure out is it usser, is it mutter, is it usser, is it mutter. Right, of course, must speak and be sorry. Ella vadai gam kain halomid velokeach hadavarim kipshuto toras emes b'fihu. Right, somebody who does it superficially. You have to say, of course, what he's saying is emes. Of course, the Torah that he's speaking is emestic Torah. What are we saying? That the Isser V'Heter that he's saying is not emestic? Of course. Of course, we're saying that's also emestic. But, right? Here's the but. Ulam, sod hadavar hu. But here's the secret, right? Here's a thing upon which everything hinges. Ki, and here's going to give you a principle. Bechol nida umida, yesh inyan shal nekuda samida. In every nida, there's like an essential point of the mitzvah. There's an essence point of the mitzvah. What's the English philosophical word for this? Don't worry, none of you know it. It's ding an sich. Anyone hear of this? Ding an sich. Ding an sich, I believe, is German, which means a thing unto itself. If you listen to German, it often, and Deutschland, just kidding, not Deutsch, what's it called? Danish. It often sounds, I was in Denmark for like 2 days, and by the end of the 2 days, I could read all the signs because it sounds like English with a stuffy nose, which is incredible. Ding, a thing. Unto sich itself, ding an sich, a thing unto itself. Okay, that's the philosophical term of like when you're looking at a chair, you could be like, well, there's a chair, so you could describe the pieces of the chair, right? It has this, and it has the nails, and the back looks like this, and it's black, and it's right. But there's also like the chair. So I can have Chavi, and I could like describe Chavi to you, and I think a lot of us feel like this, right? When we're describing someone in like shidduchim or to a friend, and we're like, I'm sort of describing Chavi, but like that's not Chavi. Like there's something else that's Chavi. Right? That's like Chavi ding an sich Chavi versus like Chavi. So like we interact with Chavi, but then there's also like Chavi, the ding an sich of Chavi, the thing unto itself and is what it is. Okay? So every Midah has like different parts of the Midah that we can talk about, but also has like the ding an sich of the Midah. What is MS? Okay? So that's what he says. Every Midah has different layers, but it also has like the essential rachamim, essential MS, a nekuda, like the ding an sich of MS basically. Okay, the avoda ta'adam. What is the avoda that people are charged to do? What's the avoda that we have? Avoda ta'adam hi likloa betocha nekuda. We're trying to like seep ourselves into that, into the ding an sich. Any mida that we have, any mida that we're working on, we're not trying to work on like all the peripheries of the mida. We're trying to hit as deep as we can into the mida as possible. Right? This should be our avoda in Elul also, right? You could talk about Lashon Hara, you could talk about like, well, I speak Lashon Hara, we speak about this all the time, right? I speak Lashon Hara about this person and about that person and in this situation, blah, blah, blah. Or it could be like, I speak Lashon Hara when I'm feeling insecure, right? I speak Lashon Hara when I'm feeling jealous. And like, what is that jealousy? And the more that you could seep yourself into that mida and help fix that mida, you will see that instead of just fixing that one situation of Lashon Hara that you would have fixed otherwise, it fixes like this and this and this and this and this, right? Avoda is trying to get deep. You get deep into the ding an sich of what's going on inside of you with any mida. The person who goes Isser Heter, Isser Heter, Isser Heter, even though of course there's some aspect of MS, it's not what? The ding an sich is not there. He is not going in, he's not delving himself. He's not like, he's not, you know, what's the word for it? I don't know. enrooting himself. It's not a good word.
Entrenching?
Entrenching is a good word. Yeah, good. Right? He's not entrenching himself in that nida of MS. Right, he has not yet reached like nekuda samet. He has not yet reached the ding on sich of MS. Right, so really we can't say he has a ding on sich of MS. That's not his. That's not the meaning that he's translating. Okay, he goes on and talks about that's why we say MS la amito. When we talk about MS la amito, that's what we're talking about. It's real MS, not just MS. It's MS la amito. It's like it's the nekuda of MS. Right, that's the contrast that Rabbi Yonah is setting up. Right, it's not like that. Somebody who instead of doing iser heter is going like Rabbi Yonah says, ritzono. He wants to. His will, his intention, litroach to toil kama yamim v'shanim lahasik davar katan, days and years to understand a little thing. That person is seeped in his mida of MS and in the mida of MS. V'hineu b'bchinas MS la'amito. V'ashri lo ki zacha maspikin biyada lil monolame lishmor v'lasa. So again, still not answering much of his question about why necessarily that all these things are given over into his hand. But again, learning in order to do, so to speak, like Bacheva is saying, Rabbeinu Yonah and Sifte Dallas are seeing that as like the same thing as saying, Lome la amito. You're learning something to try to get at the MS behind it. And it's not superficial MS, it's deep MS. And that's the difference between superficial iser heter that we talk about and sometimes we think about as MS and the actual mida of MS. And think about it. What are they telling you about MS? What are they telling you about the experience of somebody who is seeped in MS? What's the difference between someone who is Halomet almanas lalamed and halomet almanas lasevs? What's their experience, their different experience of life? Let's say you have those two women teaching halacha, whatever, two men teaching halacha, let's just keep it the same thing, right? You have that guy who's iser heter. What's his experience of MS? He's MS. He's staying much more superficial, but he always knows the entire Shabbos. What does he know? What's usher and what's heter? What's mutter? He knows. He doesn't have any doubt. He prepared all this, and he prepared it really well, and he's right. He experiences Shabbos as like, yeah, I mean, of course, this is Aser, this is Mutter, I'm doing the right thing. What's the experience of someone who Rabbeinu Yonah and Sifte Dallas call someone who's emistic?
You're struggling.
Right? That's his experience of life. He's spending years struggling on a little thing. Years. Yomim ushanim. Right? That's what he says. Ritzono litruach kama yamim v'shanim lahasig davar katan. He's spending days or years trying to understand a small thing. But who has the mida of MS more? Iser heter, I know exactly what's right and wrong? No. Somebody whose experience of life is a lot more uncertain. He has a lot more uncertainty. I'm not sure if what I'm doing is right. I'm not sure why I'm doing this. I'm not sure why this makes any sense. Why is it that we're allowed to do this and we're not allowed to do this? And he spends years of his life trying to understand a small part of that. And who has the needs of MS more? That person. Right? That's how depth is required of us in Avos Hashem. It makes our experience of life a lot more uncertain. It makes our experience of understanding all the time of like, yeah, of course, that's right, I'm doing what's right. It's a lot more gray. Our lives are a lot more gray, but you know what? They're also a lot more amistic. Just one more line from Sifte Dallas, because he paints the picture of what this experience of someone who's amistic. What does it mean? What does it mean? What are they searching for? Halo min amanas lasos, v'chule. Kol machshavato v'chachmasov shel ha'adam. All of his thoughts, all of his intentions, all of his like, Cheshbonos, or all the things he's trying to do, Srichim laholechbo, have to pierce him. They have to go through him. Ba'atzmo u'ba'atzmu yoso. Into him and into him. Ba'atzmo into him u'ba'atzmu yoso, and into his identity. That's how he learns. He doesn't learn superficially. Everything he thinks about, everything he's trying to understand, holechbo, it's a beautiful lesson, huh? Kol machshavosav v'chachmosav shel ha'adam tzrichim laholech bo ba'atzma u'ba'atzmi yuso. It really hits him, what he's learning. But not that it hits him and he has absolute clarity. It hits him and he spends years trying to figure stuff out. That's somebody who has amiga de veras. It's a lot more, what's it called, gritty than we expect it to be, isn't it? Here's Reversh, okay? Reversh is going to tie it all together, okay? Instead of just leaving us on that, like, little bit of, like, a, I don't know, uncertain note, okay? Reversh. Here he talks about more much of us, right? He goes like this. Quite aside from predominant myths of value, the intention to pass on by means of instruction that which one has learned is itself conducive to study, right? Why is it that someone who is a lomid amanasa lamid must speak and be a delil moda lamid, right? I mean, how many of you guys have ever gotten the advice, like, if you're studying for something, we all hear this, right? If you're studying for something, teach it to somebody else, because by trying to teach it to somebody else, you'll understand which parts of it you do or don't actually understand yourself, right? Meaning, I do this every time I would go to Queens and do, like, a chabura. I don't really, right? Like, here, I always have to, like, review it a bunch of times before I give it, but in Queens, driving, I literally used to say it out loud, every chabura that I would give, because I would see where I was hesitant and where I was not sure, and those are the parts that I didn't really understand. And I'd have to, like, rehearse it before I could say it in a way that made sense. Right? So again, like, you understand by teaching it which parts of it you know that you don't really get well enough. Okay, good. So that, it makes sense, of course. Right? He's saying, like, it's something that's natural that must speak and be a delil moda lamid. For the one who studies for this purpose is thus compelled to delve even more thoroughly into the material. If you're trying to not learn it only for yourself, but also to teach it, right, you do better know what you're talking about. So you're going to make sure that you know what you're talking about and you learn it on a deeper level. Right? And to seek greater clarity of thought than he might otherwise. But the supreme purpose of learning, think about this here, again, according to Hirsch, what's the subject of this Mishnah? Okay, ask yourself that question as we hear what he says. The supreme purpose of learning Torah is to translate the teaching of the Word of God into practical deeds and loyal fulfillment thereof. So, Bachava, there's your answer, right? Why? Because that's the point. The point of learning Torah is to do the Torah, not just to learn it and to understand it and to teach it well, but to also do it. This purpose embraces not only the duty to act... This purpose embraces not only the duty to act in this matter, but also that of teaching the Word of God to everyone who is needful of such instruction and capable of grasping it, right? So the will to do, according to Rav Hirsch, includes the will to teach also. If you're really trying to do it, you also necessarily will come to teaching it to others, okay? Quite aside from all bartimates of value inherent in his act, the very intention and resolve to fulfill that which is being learned is at the same time that attitude which is most conducive to proper study. All right, so he's saying, Halomid almanas laasos. In order to really understand what it is that you're learning, you have to be intending to do it. That's the natural mechanism here. The more that you try to do what it is that you're learning, the better it is that you learn. So if you're intending to teach it, you learn better than you would without that. But if you're intending to do it, which includes teaching, by the way, in parentheses, right? You learn it on an even deeper and an even better level. To discern from the word of the law the will of God as regards the arrangement of our own lives requires the clearest, broadest, and most profound penetration and understanding of the Torah. Right? If we learn Torah with the assumption that something of my life is required from this, if we learn Torah with the assumption that something here is practical for me today, tomorrow, and the next 120 years of my life, something is being asked of me, that's a very different way to learn. And that gives us the clearest, broadest, and most profound understanding of what it is that we're learning. But over and beyond even this, hold on a second. Let's stop there. So according to Rav Hirsch, what's the subject of this Mishnah? What's this Mishnah talking about? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's talking about MS, right? According to Sif Hadass, talking about MS. Rabbeinu Yonah maybe is talking about intention. Sif Hadass is talking about MS. According to Rav Hirsch, what's it talking about?
How to learn.
Learn. Good, Chavi. Right? He's talking about learning. This Mishnah is trying to teach you the best way to learn Torah. And the best way to learn Torah is not just teaching, it's doing. Okay? And here he goes on. And this is the part that ties everything together, I think. But over and beyond even this, right? Over and beyond even this, that laudable intention is in itself inimical to any erroneous view. What does inimical mean? Nimble means like opposed to something. It's an enemy of something. Okay? So the laudable intention, meaning the intention to do, is the enemy of what is inimical to any erroneous view. The intention to learn in order to do, and therefore the capacity to learn on a deep level, is the sworn enemy, happily, of any error, of making a mistake. Be it ever so ingenious, that may corrupt the mind with its wit and cause astray. and it will keep forever before us the reminder that any error in theoretical study will lead to the wrongdoing in practice. Shigigas Talmud Ola Zadah. So what is your purse thrown at the end that we really need, especially after Rabbi Yonah and Sifsei Das? Right? Rav Hirsch says this. The fact that we learn with this assumption of, not with assumption, with the intention of depth. The fact that we learn in order to do it, because that's the deepest way we have to learn. Because that's what creates, again, that mechanism of emes, that everything, holich bo ba'atzmuso, ba'atzmo ba'atzmuso. Right? We really learn with this emesdic kind of way of what is this asking of me? Rav Hirsch is saying, it's not just stum nice. It's that allows us the certainty to know that we're not making a mistake. That's the maspikin biyado. Lil moda lame lishmor velasos. That part of that intention, part of that approach to learning Torah is the promise that we will not err when we learn that way. And we need that. Because otherwise, who seems to be a lot more certain that they're doing the right thing? Isser heter, ma'am. Or like, I don't know why I'm doing this. This has been bothering me for 3 years. Like, I have to go learn something more about this. Right? It's true. We have to have that promise for that person who's willing to seep themselves in the grayness of emes. That those choices and that life that person is living is dynamically opposed to error. That person will not err. If what they're doing is trying to learn in order to do it on a deep emistic level that is, again, opposed to shitri, opposed to superficiality, then part of the promise of that person is that they will not err. What they do and how they do it will be MS. Will be real, not MS, right? You can't use the word. Will be right, will be correct. Lishmor v'la'asos. They're given over the chance to do it well, iser heter, and lishmor v'la'asos.